Thank you. isn't there anyone who could tell me what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you, ye shall find the babe lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Good morning. We're the Harvey family. My name is Dan, and this is Levi, and Elisa, and Sophia. We're going to read the Advent reading for today.
Every year we light candles as we prepare for the coming of Christ. More and more candles, more and more light as we watch and wait for Jesus, the light of the world. The shepherd's candle reminds us of the joy and celebration of the shepherds as they shared in Christ's birth.
From Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. appeared, and the soul felt its worth. the dead.
I'm Willie Krueger. I'm custodian over at the Beck Apartments, but you know that, don't you? You know that. I guess nobody here can see me or hear me except you. You. I didn't bring a gift. I guess that's not important. Thank you for everything you've done for me. As long as I can remember, you've been right by my side. I'll never forget when you walked with me right in those first few hours after I lost Martha. I've always been able to count on you when I felt dark inside and you were right there, right every time. Right there. Even when I didn't feel good about myself, I knew that you cared for me enough, and that made me feel better. Like the time I got mad with Mabel Huntington because she broke her pipes on purpose, just so she could have somebody to see while I came up and fixed them for her. Boy, I hollered at her. I hollered real loud. But then I got to thinking. You love Mabel just as much as you love me. And I should treat her the way you want me to. I believe I talked to you about that at the time. I started visiting her and we became friends. And I saw her almost every day until the day she died. I love you. You're my closest, my finest friend, and that means that I can hold my head high wherever I go. Thank you.
At this point, I'm going to just ask you to stand, and we're going to sing O Come to the Altar, worship together in song. Would you all just stand with me, please? Lord, draw us to yourself this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this chance to come to worship you, to honor you, to praise you. He's calling us today. Let's sing this together.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life was born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was sparkling. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was sparkling. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Lord Jesus, today we come to the altar. Even as we focus on you and your coming as a baby. Just like we saw in that clip, we just bow down before you now. We bow down before you, Jesus. You may be seated.
We have a hand of applause for everyone who was involved with this, the singing, the Amy, the leading, the kids, the soloists, the duets. Fantastic. At this time, we are going to have our ushers come forward. They are going to be handing out pew pads down this middle aisle, and what we ask for you to do is just sign that pew pad, write your name, and that will be a way for us to read your name and pray for you during the week. We see that as a way of connecting with you throughout the week, whether you're at work or at school, at home. We just read your name and know that you are prayed for specifically throughout the week. And then we are going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so following that, I'm going to share a little bit Very briefly, on my notes, we usually have an order of service for me so I know where we are, and my notes tell me that I'm supposed to speak briefly. So this will be a brief. So let's have a word of prayer as we go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for those who shared of their talents, of their abilities, with singing, with instruments. Father, we enter into this time, this Christmas season, remembering and celebrating your arrival to this place. Lord, this Advent season, this time of anticipation, we also look forward to your return in victory, in glory, and in honor. Father, as we gather in this place, it's almost a recreation. We're waiting in anticipation for your return as we respond to who you are and what you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been spending some time in the Gospel of John as we've been in these weeks of Advent. We're in week 3, just another week, and then it's Christmas. And so we've been looking at John and his exploration of Jesus coming into the world. Matthew and Luke, they have the birth stories. John doesn't go that direction. He goes more cosmic. He goes back to the very beginning of the Bible, in fact, repeating the same first 3 words of the Bible in the beginning to remind his audience to draw their attention to that beginning, that this is God continuing his operations, continuing this rescue plan of humanity. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to spend just a few moments looking at one particular verse. We're going through this first chapter of John, and today we find ourselves in the 14th verse. And so there should be the text behind me on the slides for you to read along. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 14, if you have your Bibles with you. Then we're going to stand together as a way of showing honor to the Word of God. So if you would stand with me, and we're going to read, or I will read to you, and you can follow along. Verse 14 of the first chapter of John, he writes this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And let's pray. Father, as we explore this text briefly, looking at these words and focusing in on dwelling with us. Father, we thank you for these words from John and his understandings and how he expressed his belief for those who would come after and for us. We thank you for these words. May we find an application today as we celebrate the anticipation, the arrival of Christ the Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. So John is writing about the Word, and he uses that phrase throughout the entire beginning of his gospel. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And here in verse 14, he talks about how the Word became flesh. And later on, if you were to continue to read this beginning, this prologue of John's gospel, this good news that he writes of Jesus, John finally reveals that the Word that he's been talking about is in fact Jesus, this baby who was born in a manger that people celebrate as Christ the Lord. And Matthew and the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, they write different aspects of the story of Jesus' birth. And there's a part of the story that we looked at a little bit with the lighting of the Advent candles. It was when the angels came to the shepherds. And there was first one messenger from heaven, that introduced themselves to the shepherds. And then as you read the birth of Jesus stories, it says, and then there was a multitude in the heavens praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill to men. And when I think about this, and I think about John writing that the Word became flesh, I think of the angels kind of like at a surprise birthday party. Have you ever been a part of a surprise birthday party when you're hiding in someone's house or you're hiding in a room and it's all dark and you're just waiting there? How many of you have ever been a part of a surprise birthday party? Anybody? Where you weren't the one being surprised, but you were part of that group. So you know what it's like. You're waiting in the dark and you're just waiting for that person to come. You know what's going to happen. You know in a few moments the light is going to turn on and we're going to jump out and we're going to say surprise and we're going to be celebrating this person's day of birth. And it's almost like you're just bursting with anticipation, right? Because you're getting kind of cramped because you're squatting down. You're like, just get me out of this position. But you're just so excited to be part of this surprise. And I imagine the angels being like that on this night in front of the shepherds. They know what's happening. It's almost like they can't wait to share this information. They're hiding in the shadows and they're waiting for the signal when the lights come on and the multitudes show themselves, reveal themselves to the shepherds and say, surprise! We're celebrating this fantastic birthday of Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the One who will rescue humanity. So that's first of all what I think of when I read of John writing the Word became flesh. But what I really want to focus in on this morning, in a brief few minutes, is that he writes this Word who became flesh, Jesus, made his dwelling among us. That key word, dwelling, that's what I want to focus in on. He made his dwelling among us. The word that John uses for dwelling, when we translate it, it means literally to pitch your tent. It's in the Old Testament, it's where we get the word tabernacle. When Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, they set up what was called a tabernacle, and that is where they would meet with God. They believed that God dwelled, tented, pitched his tent in the tabernacle. It was kind of like a play on words. And so here, John is using that same language that Jesus pitched his tent with us. How many of you, to make sure that we're all still awake, raise your hand. How many of you have ever gone camping in a tent before? How many of you enjoy camping in a tent? Bless you. I do not. Do not invite me to your camping excursions because I'll have to say no thank you. I think something else is going on that day. When I think about pitching your tent, when I think about going camping, immediately, because obviously I'm such a negative person, I think of all the bad things about going camping, right? You think of how uncomfortable it is sleeping on the sleeping bag because inevitably I will get the root right in my lower spine. And you think of the aches, right? You think of the pain. You think of the mess because it's going to rain. And the rain, the water is going to pool right by your head. And you're going to wake up and you're going to stink because they don't have hot showers. You think of the smoke of the fire getting into your eyes because clearly God has designed the wind to follow you and the smoke is always going to be where your face is, right? You've experienced this? The messiness of tents, the messiness of camping out, the aches, the pain, the dirtiness of it. I, for one, enjoy the miracle of hot showers. But then when I'm done with my rant and my raving about the horribleness of camping, I think about all of the wonderful stories that will come out of that experience. all of you who have camped, you know what I'm talking about. Inevitably, you're going to have stories that come from that experience. You're going to have the fun, the unplanned things that you laugh about, that bring a smile, that this triggers your memory. Every time you smell a burnt hot dog, or whenever you put that s'more into your mouth, you are reminded of the joy of camping. This is John 14. Jesus came and pitched his tent with us. When John says that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us, it's like he is camping out with us. Life has full of mess, isn't it? Lots of aches and pains and filthiness and dirtiness, and the smoke of life can get in your face, and sometimes you're just overwhelmed by it. But John reminds us, Jesus is there with you. He's in the midst of that ache, of that mess, of that filth. But then there's also the joys of life. Those stories, those shared experiences that you have, and Jesus is there in the midst of that as well. He pitches his tent with us. So think of your life. Think of all of those aches and those pains that you've had, those heartaches, those experiences where you're like, it seems like the wind of life is just blowing this awful smoke in my face. Jesus is there with you. Think of all those wonderful experiences you've had. Jesus is there with you. The encouragement, the hope that John is writing to his audience, and the hope that for us today, week 3 of Advent, is in the midst of your life, the Creator God, the Word, Jesus, pitched his tent with you. He is not a God who observes from afar and says, man, that looks horrible. I don't want anything to do with that. Don't invite me to your camping trip, which is life. No, Jesus says, I'm going to be right there with you. The Creator God is with you through it all. This brings hope. This brings celebration, to which the shepherds, upon hearing this, we better go see what they're talking about. And that is our response as well. You mean the Creator of the cosmos came and pitched his tent. Through the Spirit of God, Jesus remains with us today, tomorrow, and forever. Let's pray. Father, as we think of the Christmas season, as we think of the pictures of the nativities, the Christmas carols, the songs that we sing, the candies, the presents that will come, Father, may you remind us, use our memory of camping, of going out in tents, use that as a practical reminder that Jesus dwells among us. May that be a source of encouragement, that we are not alone, that the Creator of the cosmos is here, is among us, in the hurts and the aches and the mess, and also through the joys and the memories and the stories that we share. We thank you for his birth that we celebrate. We thank you for his death and his resurrection that brings forgiveness of all sins. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give one last tag before I vacate this podium. Christmas Eve, December 24th at 7 o'clock, come here, and we're going to share about how the Christmas celebration, how we typically now celebrate Christmas, wasn't always like that. I'm going to give you a little history lesson, and it may ruin the Christmas song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." I won't necessarily ruin Christmas, but maybe that song. But come and experience what Christmas was like and how it has changed over the years. Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock.
again.
May you go with the peace of God. May you go with the love of God. May you go with the joy of God. Amen and amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. You're dismissed. For those who want to stay, we have lunch.